This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The complaint about that is that people will associate with healthier people. Their premiums will be low. The sicker will be stuck in their association of sick people, and the premiums will be high. But let me get just a question.
Well, actually, no. One of the things that is written into the rule is that all comers have to be taken, and so there
isn't
is
that a regulation.
What happens is everybody's. Yeah. Well, the thing is already the rules have been in place for a long time, since the 90s, that group insurance has to basically cover everybody, and it does. So if you work for a company and you get group insurance, they can't exclude you because you're sick. So companies already have had sort of protection against pre-existing conditions and protections against being sick. But what happens, because we base it on employment, the sicker and sicker you get, the less likely you are to be employed. They get pushed into the individual market. And this is a game. The insurance companies love this game. They get all the healthy people and they reap enormous profits. And then if you get sick, you leave employment, you don't have insurance, then they gouge you, drop you, and then they say, oh, no, we really want to help people that are sick, but we'll do it if you subsidize our profits. And it's like they make $15 billion a year in profit. We should not be giving them any taxpayer money.
All right. Senator Rand Paul will have another week.
I mean, you know, a lot of people, Scott, are not listening to what Rand Paul is standing. I know it's bothersome because he's been the contrarian voice in this whole situation with health care and holding his ground. And I'm thankful that he is taking a stand. And I know for some people they might be a little shocked because, you know, the deal is that people are getting a little weary arguing and, you know, going through this process. And the way in which the Republicans do this, it's not, in contrast to the Democrats that said, okay, President Obama and Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid had already figured this thing out. And so it was like, okay, here's the plan. We're going to jam this out. Anybody that spoke outside of the confines of the party politic, you know, hey, boom, you're put on timeout. We're not going to give you money for reelection, yada, yada. So they held them pretty well close. On the other side, you got the Republicans who just love to process. They love to talk about this thing, and they're all over the place, as opposed to, as we talked about last week, narrowing down what the objection is, you know, talking about what it is that they do agree about. And some of these things that Rand Paul is bringing up, I think this is important to address. But let's spend a little bit more time on the things that we agree about. So it would be nice to hear Rand Paul saying, instead of all the stuff that he's antithetical and that bothers him about it, you know, what does he like about what's being offered? Because even as Ronald Reagan said, you're not going to get 100%, but if I got 80 of my 100, that's more than what I had before. Now, Again, I'm not telling Rand Paul to fold his cards yet because it's not time to fold them. But I'd like to hear from him what he likes about it, about what they've put together, because I don't think that it's all bad. It's certainly not all good. This is what government is all about. It's all about a compromise. I mean, you know how I feel from the get-go, and that is that government shouldn't be involved with it at all. And there should be a minimal involvement with it. But the fact that the Democrats opened up this portal and says, okay, government is supposed to be in charge of our health care. I mean, we're dealing with some principal issues. So we're trying to clean up this mess here as best I can understand this. And I only hope that, like the Hippocratic Oath, that the Republicans don't do what the Democrats do and did and forget what the Hippocratic Oath does, which is do no harm, right? And if they could only do good. But, politicians being what they are, thinking that they have all the goods and, you know, they have to demonstrate to we the people that they're the smartest people in the room. I just don't know about that right now. But, hey, the argument, the debate, as they say, continues. And, boy, I'll tell you, we can just hope and pray that they get the right answer and really, you know, come up with something that's going to be win-win and answer most of the problems for most of the people. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone. Because if you give us a call right now, you'll be able to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling minicpap.com, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. That's 1-800-441-9833.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We're back with the America 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information's right there. If you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Marvin Scott joins us now. He's a living member of the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame, recipient of 11 Emmy Awards for Journalistic Achievement, and is a veteran journalist in both print and broadcast mediums. Marvin, good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good to be with you, Bill. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing terrific, Marvin. I got to tell you, you being a journalist, my heart really, I mean, I come out of the broadcast journalistic genre, but out of true journalism, and I know you've had broadcast experience as well, I just see this part of the profession being compromised in so many ways, and I've talked with many old school journalists that are very much aggrieved by the new style of journalism that seems to be quite pervasive in our culture.
It saddens me to see what has happened over the years. And I think principally what is responsible for that is the evolution of social media. Mm-hmm. I think that has changed the way people get their news. I saw a poll that indicated 62% of the recipients said they got their news from social media, mm-hmm. 44% of them from Facebook. And the sad reality is that social media plays by different rules and different standards than we have as journalists and as we were taught in journalism school and taught in the trenches, covering stories day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And it saddens me terribly. I know I read on your website, you know, you say your job is to educate and not to provide commentary. Let the facts speak for you. Mm-hmm. And what I characterize myself as, I characterize myself as a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And I let the facts speak for themselves. The who, what, when, where, why.
Exactly.
And that's been my mantra over the years.
Mm-hmm. And it has served you well, and for me as well, in the pursuit of truth, Marvin, because the point is that the truth has been so compromised, it's become relative, it's opened up, as you say, with the dawning of social media. Anybody that has access to a microphone, a computer, can start putting out opinion out there. And the traditional values, like you say, of delivering the facts to your constituency, it doesn't matter. I mean, in some cases, people are just out there for clicks because the industry, the social media model is such, it'll pay you for the number of clicks. It doesn't pay you for being objective or delivering the truth. It just says, how many eyeballs can you get on this? And 60 Minutes, as you'll recall, I think about a month ago, did an in-depth on their scale investigation on this, and interviewed a couple of guys that were the purveyors of fake news, and it's all about generating revenue for them. And it doesn't matter about the truth. It's just, hey, the more clicks we get, the more money we get.
It has become a business, and it's sad because often what is generated on social media is picked up by general media without the fact-checking, and that has been the biggest problem we've seen in recent years. We used to have editorial control at every station I have ever worked, at every newspaper where I've worked. There's been editorial control. Nothing got on the air or in print until it passed through an editor. Today, what's generated by social media is picked up by general media, often without going past an editor.
Exactly.
An example, a month ago, my wife was up late, and she shouted from one room to me that Prince Philip had passed away. All right, well, I picked up the news from her. In the morning, I was listening to the radio and heard quite a different story.
Exactly.
Prince Philip hadn't passed away, but he had resigned from his responsibilities. I asked her, Lori, where'd you hear that he died? She said it was all over social media at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's how so much of this begins. And it's picked up by mainstream media. Not all, and we're not all irresponsible, but there are some out there that are and are not following the correct standards of fact-checking and validity before we go on the air with it.
Well, Marvin, speaking of editors, are you finding now, compared to back then when you learned the hard way and went through the School of Knocks and Hard Knocks, you know, through the different radio stations and entities that you worked for, that there seemed to be kind of an ethical boundary, so to speak, and in as much as that there were some standards. It seems today, at least from my purview, in the mainstream, what we would call the mainstream media, that it seems to be more ideologically fixed and makes no apology for it. And that, I believe, is contributing to this whole smear campaign and adding to, you know, the rapidity of getting something out there because it happens to fit your perspective. And because of that, I don't need to do the extra work to make sure what I'm reporting has validity and credibility.
You know, I hear this all the time. There are complaints of us. We've been made out to be scoundrels in the media. Back after Watergate, we were heroes, and now we're not respected as we should be. We are an honorable profession, and we are the purveyors of, we are the messengers, and we tell the stories. But also, with 800 channels out there and social media, we also offer commentary, and we label it as such.
Exactly.
I saw a bumper sticker once that said, I get my humor from Fox News, I get my news from the Comedy Channel. And it's like ice cream. You want vanilla, you go to Fox.
Yeah.
You want
right.
chocolate, you go to MSNBC. And I have a feeling people today like to be spoon-fed the news. So you can get whatever flavor you want wherever you go. And my suggestion, watch one of each, spend an hour on each side, then form your own opinion. But people don't do that. They'll follow what wishes and their thoughts and their ideology and philosophy is towards anything in life, political or otherwise.
Exactly. We've kind of contributed to it as well. I mean, it's a total, if you want to say, conspiracy. You know, we've all participated in it because, as you say, we're going to listen to that which fits our own worldview and complements our own prejudices. And all that's, you know, all that's fine and well. I mean, you know, we have that choice and that right to do that. I would encourage those that have questions to keep asking those questions and to pursue the truth, which is not relative. I believe the truth is the truth is the truth, and you know when you have it. You know, it's kind of like when little Johnny at home steals a cookie and he's got crumbs on his face and he tells you there's no way that he stole a cookie. It just doesn't sit right. It doesn't sit right, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's a good analogy, yes.
Yeah. So I think that's the opportunity that we have here in this culture, is to demand better, And certainly the media's taken a hit, as you know. You look at the number of advertisers that are dropping out, the viewers, the subscribers that are dropping out. You know, when you and I were kids growing up, the mainstream media then at the time, the networks, the three major networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, commanded 85% of the viewing audience. Today, less than 50%.
That is a sad reality. Another sad reality, Bill, is the fact that in the past 10 to 15 years, we lost over 100 newspapers across the country.
Yeah, that says something right there. Marvin, let me interrupt you for just a second because we got to go to break. We'll be right back. We'll pick it up from there. Marvin Scott is our guest. Okay. We've got more from Marvin on the other side of the break. Stay with us. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
We're back with you. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're visiting with the infamous one and only Marvin Scott, living member of the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Marvin, I got to tell you, honestly, you're the first Hall of Famer from the New York State Broadcasters that I've had a chance to have a conversation with on Bill Martinez Live. So we appreciate the time, and we're honored to have you here on the show with us.
I'm honored to be with you. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, let's talk more. Let's finish up the conversation, because I had to cut you off in terms of, you know, you're talking about the number of newspaper entities. I mean, I'm sure some people are not aware of how many newspaper entities have gone by the wayside.
We have lost the newspapers, and also the economics of it all has impacted us. Those papers that still exist, many of them out there, have cut back on the staffs. They've cut back on the seasoned beat reporters who are out there checking their sources day in and day out. The number of editors have been cut back at radio, TV, and newspapers. We don't have that same degree of checking that was always there. Today, it's the attitude, get on the air first, get the story out first. But Dan Rather once said, I'd rather be last but be accurate.
Yes.
And that is a problem today. And that's how some of this, what we have been characterized as fake news, gets generated, because it's not adequately verified. We don't check with second sources. We were taught in journalism school there have to be two sources to every story.
Exactly.
And that is something we always seek. That's something I have always sought in my 50 years in this business. Mm-hmm. It's something I talk about in the book. I talk about reaching out to sources and how important it is to generate a story and also to respect those sources. Mm-hmm. The more you have out there and the more they trust you, the more you're likely to get a good exclusive. I talk about the agony and ecstasy of exclusives and how I've lost some good ones because I would not betray a source.
Yeah.
And it's all laid out in my book, which I hope you've seen. It's called A Reporter's, As I Saw It, A Reporter's
Yes, exactly.
Intrepid Journey. So,
right.
And that's just out. And it's a composition of 26 of the more unique stories I've covered out of the 15,000 I've done over the past 50 years.
What a life, huh? When you look back and see this compilation, I know that maybe from time to time during the span of your life you look back, but when you're actually writing it down and then you have to edit some of the stories out, you probably look over the breadth of the work that you've done and just think, wow, you know, do you feel a little bit like Forrest Gump? I mean, because you've been right there at the pinnacle of all these historic events. I mean, you know, you've interviewed, what, six presidents? You know, what an incredible experience to be there one-on-one with the most powerful men in the world.
Well, one of the funny moments was my daughter read the book, and she called me. She said, Dad, you really brought Martin Luther King a Coke? I remember you told me, I was a little girl when you told me you met him, but I don't remember you bringing him a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
That was back in 1966. He picked up
wow.
a March Against Fear in Mississippi after James Meredith, who was the leader of the march, was shot. Mm-hmm. And Dr. King and other members of the Civil Rights Movement had picked up that march. And I sat with him on the side of a dirt road during a break in the march. I had just filed a radio report of a motel across the road, and I returned, and he was sitting there, and I wasn't intending to bring him the Coke. I brought an extra one to put in my pocket. It was a hot day.
Right.
And I sat down with him, and I offered him one, and we chatted for a few moments, and that was an incredible moment for me, because at that moment, we were talking about what his goals were, and he kind of repeated what he had said in that speech in Washington a couple of years earlier, that his vision was that someday we would judge a man not by the color of his skin, but the content of his character.
Exactly.
And I asked him why he did it. He had so many threats on his life and at least one attempt and a family. Why did you do this, Dr. King? And he looked at me and he paused for a moment and said, for the children, for the children.
Yeah.
And it's those children who are benefiting by all he did back in during that struggle of the 60s.
Well, here you are. You're one time you're offering a Coke and having a chance to have a one-on-one discussion with Martin Luther King, which had to just be precious for you. And then you find yourself standing over his casket upon his death. Wow, what a you talk about a framework there. That's an incredible photo right there.
It it was a very emotional moment. I was one of three reporters inside the funeral home, standing over his open casket when Ralph David Abernathy, who took over the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and Andy Young and a couple of others from the Civil Rights Movement walked in, and they stood silently over his casket. And Ralph Abernathy and I was standing there in a corner very quietly doing a very quiet narrative into my tape recorder as Ralph Abernathy leaned in and touched Dr. King's face and muttered, "Martin, Martin." And then all of them went into the 23rd Psalm.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And in the background, there were these women in the front pew. It just, you could hear the tears. And it was an emotional moment, but also for me, career-wise, one of the most frustrating moments of my career, because I captured the emotion of the moment just in the natural sound of what was going on in front of me, and plus the words I added of description of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
After that moment, when I went outside, my tape recorder was not functioning. The tape had wrapped around the capstan.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I remember those days, how frustrating that could be when that happens. Were you able to save much of that tape?
No, it was all lost.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. But not to your mind. I mean, did you feel, being that close, that when Martin Luther King, when he was assassinated, that a part of America died with him?
Absolutely, because he brought so much hope to so many people. And It was something that really it tore America apart at that moment, as we saw in the riots that followed after that. It was probably one of the darkest hours in American history.
I saw him as a bridge. A bridge to unity, and suddenly that bridge was exploded, and it disunified us. We were at a point, I thought, even though it was, I mean, he forced America to deal with some issues, answer some questions, and to reinforce their beliefs, and suddenly that was obliterated. And I think we're still recovering to a degree to this very day because of that.
To a degree we are, but I really admired the man. As far as physical appearance, he was 5.5 feet in height, but so much larger in his stature.
Yeah.
He knew how to deal with people. He was a voice of moderation. I watched him during the course of the march, how he would deal with the protesters and how he would try to ameliorate things and how he would deal with his own followers, and also how he would achieve things in the civil rights movement. As we would pass a cotton field and off in the distance, he would wave off in the distance. We would see no one, and he would say, "Wave his arms, chill, chill."
Yeah.
And suddenly you would see these figures emerge from behind the cotton field, and they would come and join the march. And each individual who joined the march was another small victory for the civil rights movement.
Exactly.
One of the interesting sidebars I had while I was covering that march, I was staying at a Holiday Inn Junior in Sardis, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And during the morning, I was listening to my recording devices and filing reports on my typewriter. We didn't have computers back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner's daughter, an 8-year-old girl, most impressionable, darling little girl, would come over and talk to me, and she asked me if I was a reporter and where I was from, and I told her New York, and she said, "Oh, Yankee, Northern," and I said, "Yes," and she looked at me quizzically, and I inquired why, and she had the notion that Yankees had horns.
Oh.
I was glad to belie her myth as I flapped my ears.
Yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations on the book, Marvin. We got to leave it here. Sadly, it's a wrap. The book, As I Saw It, A Reporter's Intrepid Journey, it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and available at all the usual places, certainly, correct?
That's right. Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. It's there right now.
This report is brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association. Lifestyle factors that impact risk for cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease have been expanded, as reported at the 2017 Alzheimer's Association International Conference in London. These include declining speech patterns, different types of hospitalization, and hearing loss. A study of nearly 800 people in Wisconsin with a parental history of Alzheimer's found that those diagnosed with hearing loss were roughly three times as likely to have a mild cognitive impairment, which often leads to Alzheimer's. Dr. Keith Fargo is Director of Scientific Programs and Outreach at the Alzheimer's Association.
These findings suggest that in older adults, hearing loss could be an early indicator of cognitive decline. It's possible that identifying and treating hearing loss could be of real value in reducing the overall burden of Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
If these new studies are confirmed, monitoring hearing loss and drops in speech complexity in people as they age may prove to be indicators of the need for cognitive evaluation. For more information, visit ALZ.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, back with you, America. How you doing? It's just about 20 minutes before the top of the hour as the conversation continues, especially when it comes to Donald Trump and the way the media has come after him. And I know for many, you say, well, it's no wonder. I mean, he went after them. They're after each other. And I don't know if Donald Trump really realized what kind of fight he was in for, and they have definitely circled the wagons around him. And even as powerful a force as Donald Trump is, I mean, after all, he's not beholden, so they don't have that to get on. But they can definitely not necessarily make his day, that's for sure. Our next guest, I'm sure, would agree. John Heibusch is with us, Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute's executive director, author of the best-selling book, The Shroud Conspiracy. John, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Great to be with you, Bill.
Well, John, you look at the Trump administration, he really picked a fight here, and the media is not going to do him a whole lot of favors, certainly. You know, you got to be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't know. It seems like every day it's another fight. But I have to honestly say, I think this is the kind of thing President Trump is asking for. I think he's made the decision that the media is on the other side, the other camp, the enemy camp, and that he can actually gain votes by taking them on. So I think, in my opinion, it's part of a strategy.
Well, you know, okay, that's fine. You might win the battle, but what about the war? Is there going to be something to where the media might find some middle ground? And, because obviously they really don't care about
about income, about their bottom line, because this has been very costly for them over the years. And it's not just been because of Donald Trump. I mean, they were in the tank, certainly, for President Obama. And I think it's been a while here that they've decided. They've made a purposeful decision to abandon any kind of middle ground and any kind of true journalistic ethos. Not to mention their reason for being, as far as we the people are concerned. I mean, they're there to document history, report on the facts, and it's become almost expanded tabloid stuff.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting discussion, Bill, because I agree with you that the media is in a whole lot of hurt in this day and age. But I think, by and large, that's a result of technology and changing times, and I think that the hurt they're in, you know, it's not based upon a fight or two they may have picked here or there. I think their bottom line is suffering because of disaggregation and social media and 10,000 new ways that people are able to get their news from places like Facebook instead of, let's say, ABC or NBC. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you completely that it seems like in order to grab ratings or to sell more papers, get more subscribers, that they, in many respects, this is a period of time we haven't seen in America before, where it feels like the Fourth Estate is essentially crossed the middle line, and I mean in the wrong direction. I mean,
exactly.
One in which they've challenged, they throw down the gauntlet and challenge the president to a fight, and we're getting one. We're seeing it play right out in front of us.
At our own expense, too, John, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I we've been saying all the time, I mean, Congress is still getting their health care. Whatever tax breaks that they get, to whatever special dispensations are afforded them, it's business as usual on the Beltway. It might be a little bit more contentious, but all in all, I mean, compared to what Main Street America is feeling and experiencing, this is why we had such a revolt in November and why the status quo was turned upside down, thinking that it was a fait accompli that Hillary Clinton would be our next president. And lo and behold, Donald Trump and the people that supported him got the last say.
Yeah, you know, no argument there at all, Bill. I take your point completely that we seem to be completely distracted from the issues that sent President Trump to the White House, and those with which I'm certain he'd like to focus on if he could. And and they include health care and tax reform and you know, shrinking the size of the federal government, things that you know, frankly, are taken right out of the Reagan playbook. And you know, there's a lot of Reaganites out there that are just pleased as punch to have President Trump being interested in the same issues that President Reagan was, and I think they hope that he can accomplish a lot of his agenda. But as you say, this incredible distraction is, you know, takes a toll on the American people, and we're not discussing and debating the issues that we should.
Well, as far as the media is concerned, John, do you see an opportunity? I see one for a national media company to abandon the status quo and to really focus on presenting the news and a return, if that's even possible, in the midst of all, you know, the information age we live in, the fact that anybody that has a computer, even a microphone, can have a say. And I say that's fine. But the free market should determine the veracity and the value of what it brings brings to play here. But it would appear, because this is one thing I hear consistently in my travels, is people are hungry. They say, Bill, where do you go to for the news? And, you know, because I'm just so confused anymore. I'm not sure who to believe anymore.
Yeah. You know, I can understand why you'd say there are many that feel that they would wish they could find a some source they could trust on the media front, and I, you know, I'm in that crowd. Interestingly, we find it just seems the predilections of the American people, though, are often to rush to the source that they trust because it's a source they believe. You know, we're seeing that every day as people, you know, run to their quote unquote their neutral corners. You know, they They're digesting news that that they want to believe. You know, that's necessarily so. And as a result, we don't seem to be able to have a common conversation. People talk past one another because they can't even agree on a set of facts.
Yeah.
And that's a relatively new development as well.
I don't mind the talking. It's the yelling, John. I mean,
yeah.
It is so passionate. I think somebody has written here recently, well, more than recently, for the last couple of years about the divisiveness and the contention in our country used the comparative as the Civil War and saying that we haven't been so divided since the Civil War. And when you think about that, you go, well, that's pretty profound. And no doubt about it. I mean, I have to be careful in conversations that I have, whether it's on an airplane of all places, because you have no place to go. That's worse yet. But in some venues, I just walk away. Yeah, I know, because I can't even, you know, because I've had a couple conversations with people. I say, look, you got to understand, I do this for a living, and I'm asking questions from experts and people that know. And I think we're all, in some cases, like the group of blind men filling different parts of the elephant, you know.
trying
to make sense of it all.
Yeah, well, Bill, I think you're right. Thank God that we're not all grabbing for our ammunition stores just yet. I have an interesting theory about this. You know, my belief beyond what we've already talked about with respect to people digesting only the news they want to digest. I also think it's a function of our modern times and what technology has done in terms of our ability to communicate. I think we're able to reach each other or 10 million people with a couple of thumbs and a Twitter account, and we can get our points across. But at the same time, I think that's dramatically increased the level of stress and tension in the world because the ramifications for what we say now are so much greater, given there's so many people that we're able to touch. And I think so as the stress level rises, so does the anger, and so do all the other emotions that go along with it. And here we are today, you know, seemingly at each other's throats.
Well, the book Megatrends talked about this period of life that we're living in, and it talked about as technology would increase that there would be a higher call for what they called high touch, you know, that human connection, instead of being treated like a just another number. And to your point, I would agree, is that I think that's what we're yearning for. We're yearning for the very thing that we seem to be pushing away. It's kind of ironic right now that we want fellowship, we want to have conversation, but we negate it. We've got more. Stay with us right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates around this country that carry Bill Martinez Live, or even on shortwave, we welcome you to Bill Martinez Live. John Heibusch is with us, Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute's executive director, author of the best-selling book, The Shroud Conspiracy, and we're going to talk about his new book in just a moment. I still want to wrap things up here just a little bit, John, regarding, what Trump is representing. I mean, Trump, in a way, certainly not, perfectly in the style of one Ronald Reagan, but a lot of his policies are very Reagan-esque. And his approval ratings have been a bit dramatic. I mean, I know that it was tough on Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan had an idea. I mean, he knew, because of his experience with the media, he knew how to manage this. Donald Trump is, he's like a bull untethered, just going through the media institutions and creating all kinds of damage in the process. But all that considered, when it comes to approval ratings, and I've been one to say, look, at what approval ratings give you is a snapshot, and they tell you what is. The other part is what you'd hope to have, but that is really, to me, the true measurement of leadership, don't you think?
Yeah, you're right. Approval ratings are what they are. They're snapshots in time, and President Trump has been in office for just about 6 months. He's got another 3.5 years to go, at least in a first term. He's got time to change the snapshot. He's got time to dramatically improve his numbers, as President Reagan did. Just as President Reagan went from very low approval ratings to historic high approval ratings, but it's going to call for, in my opinion, just a smarter communication strategy. Ronald Reagan was a master communicator. Mm-hmm. He understood how to use the media to get his message across, and I think President Trump has even more tools at his disposal to accomplish the same task, but it's just going to call for everyone on his team, including himself, to sing from the same sheet of music.
Amen.
And to portray the kind of vision that he wants for America, rather than creating distractions that I think oftentimes only shoot himself in the foot.
Do you find it kind of amazing, you know, when you compare the two parties? Democrats are really good. They get the talking points, and it's almost like they enter in some sort of hidden cabal. It says, you know, thou shalt sing from the same hymnal. You know, put those other ones away. Republicans, forget it. I mean, it's like herding cats. You know, you can't get them. I mean, it's like they love bifurcating the whole health care argument, for example. I mean, they want to argue all the different legs. Why don't you come on and tell me what it is you like about the current proposal? And then if you have a second or two, talk about, hey, I'd like to see some movement in this particular area. But, man, they just beat down the negative to where, you know, the people are weary and going, can these guys even legislate?
Yeah, you know, some would suggest, Bill, that the reason you see that kind of difference between Republicans and Democrats it's because Republicans, you know, they have a mind of their own. I mean, they're in, you know, it's a smart group of people, conservative by nature, that want what's best for America, and they're highly opinionated. But, you know, they don't always dance to the same song, in great part because a lot of them have really great ideas that may well differ at times. And I think on the Democrat front, I think they pick a company line, and they've all been trained to just simply stick with it, regardless of whether it is best for what the country needs. And I think that's where we see the difference.
Exactly. But even President Reagan said, look, if I can negotiate and get 80% of the deal, I got to feel pretty good about it. You know, and I think that there is a time to have that contention and debate. But there's also a time to demonstrate some unity and leadership so that the people understand that, okay, hey, these guys got, okay, you know, they've got a pretty good handle on this deal. And as you say, I mean, I appreciate that they're smart and they bring that to the dance. But at some point, you got to be able to call the question and say, all right, let's focus on what we agree on. And but I guess maybe that's just my own pipe dream.
I don't know, maybe not a pipe dream. I think even if President Reagan were alive today, Bill, you know, per what you said about his view that 80% of a loaf is better than none. You know, remember Ronald Reagan was also the kind of guy that always wanted to go back for the other 20% later on. You know?
Exactly.
So, you know, he knew what he wanted. He knew what vision would carry the country forward. And you know, you're right. It would be genuinely helpful to have our leadership, you know, the highest office in the land, ready and prepared to lead the troops to get gain us ground. You know, all those things, and in some respects, it just may be something that has to come with time and with experience on the president's part.
Well, maybe we're all due for some maturity. This administration and we, the people, we've been kind of out of the fight for a while, and maybe we need to step up and really do the things that are needed for a time such as this. Our conversation with John Heibusch continues. Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute Executive Director, author of the best-selling book, The Shroud Conspiracy. Speaking of which, John, tell us about the book, The Shroud Conspiracy.
Well, it's a novel. It's a fiction novel. It's I've been told it's a page-turner. You know, it had a number in the national media say it's the book to read for the summer. That's kind of nice to hear because it's my first novel. I'm a little surprised myself. It's done as well as it's done. And but it's, you know, it's all of the background for the book is about the shroud, the famous Shroud of Turin, which is the famous burial cloth of Jesus Christ. And it's on that cloth that the miraculous image appears of Jesus. And half of the world believes it's a fake, and the other half essentially believes it's the most venerated religious object ever known to mankind. And then this book takes place in the center of that controversy, where an atheist scientist, a brilliant scientist, decides to prove once and for all that the shroud is a fake. And he comes to find that's not necessarily the case, and as a result, he goes through a lot of change himself as well. So it's called The Shroud Conspiracy, and it's selling well. I'm very pleased to see that.
Yeah, once again, when people are confronted, and even in a novel form, with the truth of Christ, it's hard to resist. So it would follow a form that others previously have followed, like St. Paul, for example, who found himself kicking at the goads and had that confrontation on the road to Damascus and discovered the truth of Christ.
Yeah, you know, I very purposely wrote into the story a character that his whole life he has been hesitant to, is really, really the most polite word, to accept a faith of any kind. Mm-hmm. And in his particular case, it's really a bit like a doubting Thomas. And it's only until remarkable miracles occur that you know, he begins to change inside, and it does some incredible things, you know, for him and to him, and it changes the, you know, how he feels about life. And in my opinion, there's some parallels there that, you know, that hopefully may touch all of us.
Well, he's a forensic anthropologist. He's like a good group of people that he would represent, of a scientific mindset that say, look, if I can't feel it and touch it, understand it, I mean, this faith thing is a little too woo-woo for me. I can't seem to connect with it. But here we have, you know, your main character, Dr. John Bodaran, who is of a scientific mind. And how many Americans feel the same way? Or how many people in the world, for that matter, say, show me the proof?
Yeah, you know, and in the book, The Shroud Conspiracy, he comes to find for the first time in his life that some things occur that science cannot explain.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes to a full stop because that's something remarkably new to him. And it's at that point that that he takes a position of being open in his heart, in his mind, his soul, you know, as to what the possibilities in this life are, and that perhaps the miraculous, just as the shroud is miraculous, is possible. But one has to be open to that, to let it happen.
You know, seemingly there are many crossroads in life that we come alongside, and boy, like any crossroads, they involve major decisions, don't they?
Oh yeah, and that's right. It makes, you know, decisions small and large, but and no doubt. I mean, I include myself among them when you're presented in life with a major challenge. It seems it's at that time in life when you dig down in your very deepest and really bring to the fore the kind of person that you are, and it tests your strength, and most especially tests your faith. You know, this character Bondurant goes through that in spades, and his life is on the line. And if you read the Shroud Conspiracy, there may be parts of his character that you might identify with.
Well, it is a. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead. No, go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to use your words that and what others have said about the book. It is a page turner, a burner, and one for summer reading. The Shroud Conspiracy. It's a thriller, and this is book one. So there's more to come, right?
Oh yeah, there is. Next spring, right around Easter time.
Perfect.
Book two, called The Second Coming, will be coming out. It's a sequel, and I actually even like it better than the first.
Well, John, we got to have you back for that one as well. John Highbush has been with us. John, congratulations on the book. It is available at all the usual places, yes?
It is. Barnes & Noble's and stores across the country, and certainly at Amazon.com.
Well, John, thank you so much, and we'll see you out there in Simi Valley, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Are you looking at-